With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I've got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. The Premier League returns and Claudio Ranieri's back amongst it. It's Friday, 15th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Stiffy Donaldson.
Dirty
boy. Yeah, we would have
Dirty
got that.
Boy.
We would have got that away if you hadn't put an extra word in there.
I was speaking of. I was crashing the lyrics, mate.
Yeah,
I have some respect.
I just fear for people who have woken up first thing in the morning. B, do not speak English as a first language.
Yeah.
Hearing that intro, that it is an assault on. I'm not saying it's bad.
No,
I'm saying it is simply an assault on the senses.
It's all a right. Sex crime.
Should we do it again?
It's an assault by on the.
Do it again if you want.
It's an assault by on the senses.
Oh, it's Friday, everybody. What a time to be alive. It's a great day of the week, Peter. You can't deny it.
I'll have a go.
Would you rank it as the best day of the week?
Yeah, I get a real spring. You'll notice on WhatsApp I'm a bit more chatty on a Friday. I don't know why. I just really get excited.
Well, you prefer
about
it to Saturday, do you?
Oh, yeah. Saturday, you've lost half the weekend. And I frequently have a hangover.
That is the most glass half empty statement I've ever heard.
There's a lot to be said about the idea of the anticipation of something can be at least equally as good as doing it.
True
so
enough.
So you might have said this to me, and I'll relate this to football because I realise this is a football show.
Yeah.
It was probably better to be at the semi-final of the Euros at Wembley, which I was at,
yep.
rather than the final. Not just because of the result, but because you were like, my God, we've got the final to look forward to now. Yeah. And it made it a whole more rich experience.
That's what we clung to. Yeah. Certainly, post-tournament.
Yeah. So Friday is what it's all about, in my opinion.
No, I think that's fair, though, because for certain football fans, you know, a Friday, you're thinking, oh, who have we got on the weekend? Yeah. Oh, you never know. And then, of course, by Saturday afternoon or
sometimes
evening,
Friday, like 10 p.m. I mean, that's the most upsetting thing. If you play on a Friday night, I've got nothing to look forward to at the weekend. No,
Friday evenings are particularly good, aren't they? They are better than Saturday evening.
They are delicious.
Yeah, you're absolutely
There's a reason
right.
that the popular beat combo of the 90s boy band 911 sang... Party people, it's Friday night. That's why they chose
Saturday.
It.
Oh. Yeah. I've never heard anybody say, do you get that Saturday feeling?
True.
No,
but then,
true, yeah.
But then Wigfield did famously do Saturday night.
Wigfield. But Wigfield often provides balance.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Which is,
especially
which
with a little dance. Yeah. I know you're a fan of doing, Marcus. Even now,
if I could remember it. Well, of course, Peter, we've got to wait till Sunday. Until 4:30 when Newcastle play Tottenham Hotspur, of course, which will be the first game under the new regime, the Saudi Public Investment Fund.
Yeah.
Very public. You could invest in it if you wanted to, I'm sure.
Yeah, just
empty the whole thing. They're just going to empty the whole thing into Newcastle and then they'll have nothing left. It's their Friday night. They're ready. They're going to empty it right in there.
The full name is the Saudi Public Investment Fund, open bracket, definitely nothing to do with the Saudi Arabian government, close bracket. Open bracket again. If you say it is, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Close bracket.
And anyone who says there's an email MBS at Saudi Investment Funds is a liar.
But of course, the Friday night in Saudi, would I be right in saying, would be like their Sunday night? Is the Thursday and the Friday the weekend?
Oh, yes,
Saudi?
I think it is. Yeah.
I know. I think in Dubai, they've Friday, Saturday because they've a bit of an eye on the Western market.
Right.
I think anyway. But maybe a Friday night on the Toon. It'll be open a whole new world.
Oh, I might make him chill out a bit.
The public
down the big market.
Get him down the big market.
Yeah.
See the real horrors.
My limited experience in the big market is not a relaxing experience.
No.
Oh, he's brilliant. No. Come on.
Nah. It's not relaxing. I didn't say it wasn't good. It's not relaxing. No one goes, oh, do you know what I need? A bit of time out. Big market Friday night.
I know, but you don't go there for a relaxing time. You don't go, oh, that bloody spa. Everyone was so sedate.
Yeah, true.
You know.
That is true.
There we are. Well, you know where you stand with a big market. what did you think? Jules alluded to this yesterday, Pete. The Newcastle fan writing a song called Amanda based on Barry Manilow's Mandy.
Yeah. I mean,
something we needed.
It was an astonishing bit of work. Very auto-tuned, but I quite like the voice. I thought the voice was quite good.
So I haven't actually heard this specific version. I get what they're doing. It reminds me, very reminiscent of the guy who did the old Manny.
Right, okay. Yeah,
Salah,
yeah.
Manny, whatever it is.
Should have been Manny.
Would have been better. But that way you wouldn't get all
Manny!
The players.
Manny! But you wouldn't finish.
Sorry. You wouldn't get all the players in, though, if you just did that.
No, but you can focus on one.
So I think it's the latest in a long line of those adaptations. What makes me feel quite
queasy.
Yeah, it's queasy. Exactly queasy is the word, isn't it?
Is that I don't mind it when fans sing songs about players and managers, but I mean
when they get into a recording studio and do it, it is frequently abhorrent.
It's abhorrent.
But when you're talking about someone who's involved in the takeover and all that sort of stuff,
yeah, I mean presumably the writer of this song adapter of this song just thinks that Amanda Slavey is just an excellent broker.
Yeah.
And
That's all it is.
Looking forward to her FIFA rating on brokerage.
Indeed, yeah. Some Premier League clubs have been very angry with this takeover. Apparently Spurs, Manchester United were reportedly seething over the news at a meeting with the other 19 Premier League clubs.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because they were willing to walk away from the Premier League a little while ago. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? They're suddenly really, you know, worried about the about how the Premier League sort of fits together in the global game.
Pete, they're worried about the integrity of the competition.
They're worrying about the integrity of the competition.
This is one of those things
that's what I was looking for.
This is one of those things where, like, you know, you could argue. I don't know, there's been a lot
that
of arguments recently.
Shit.
No, but you could argue...
That everyone's full of shit.
No, but at the moment, just by staying quiet, you may have some sort of moral high ground. And you've just chucked it away.
I don't think you could...
You idiots.
But I don't think that just because someone else did a bad thing that more people should be allowed to do more bad things. That's not a moral argument, though, is it?
No, I
agree on that point.
Yeah. I do agree with that, but...
The takeover shouldn't have happened, but this is a bit fucking rich.
The most angry are Crystal Palace, Brighton, West Ham and Aston Villa,
but
apparently.
They should have led with those three.
Yeah, lead with those three. Don't mention Man United.
Exactly.
And Spurs.
But that's it for Man United and Spurs. Just for once, big clubs, have an ounce of humility and let the smaller clubs have a go. Because because they're the ones who really should lead on this, not you lot.
Yeah.
with your EPL.
No,
that's just the Premier League, sorry.
When this kind of stuff happens, I just have to exercise the old mute finger on Twitter so much.
Oh, there's a bit of that.
You are such a Twitter muter. Yeah, I just take it as all the bads, all the goods, all in one room. It's like sinners in the big market. It's just, you might get a pipe thrown at your back, which actually happened to me once.
In a glass?
In a glass, yeah. The square on my back. I was like, oh, really winded me. My mate got punched. Fundamentally, just take it as you can't just start muting people.
No, I think you can because I don't believe that Twitter is a public service.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But
fine.
Luke, it's my choice.
But now that two of the people that you mute are in the room with you, how do you respond?
I don't mute in real life, like Black Mirror. Stevie Bruce? Though?
Stevie Bruce. We're going to go. All reports lead to Bruce at the moment, don't they? He will be in charge for the game, we think. It would be particularly cold if Sunday morning they said, nah, actually.
No, he wanted to stay. They wanted him to go.
Yes.
And the compromise was he was allowed to do the presser.
Yes.
So he might be good. I like the. There was an amazing thing where. I know you're going to come on to this, but some people, the new ownership are reported to be, quote, confused as to why they should sack him. I read this, it was on Football 365, I read this briefly, but I was doing 100 other things, and I just thought it said they were just confused by Steve Bruce. And I was like, well, that's part of his kind of individual shtick, brand, isn't it?
But do you not think, though, that, as I said the other day, a bit like the already walk before the ref shows the red card, are they a bit like, well, are you going to sack Steve Bruce? And thinking, I'm very confused because why is he still here?
Yeah, why has he not cleared his desk?
I think
he's a man who clearly interviews well, and he clearly the boss of any football club seems to enjoy having him around. So I reckon he's charmed them.
Well, listen, charmed them a bit. You probably won't want to hear this, but many people have said. In fact, I saw it this morning. I saw David Ornstein, who was a good journalist. Passionately defending Steve Bruce as a human being. So he's a lovely guy. He's a nice fellow. He doesn't deserve all the personal abuse that comes his way.
Have the professional abuse. That's the problem. He won't accept the professional abuse.
You have to move the war into new territory.
All right, then, Steve, we're going to call you a little fatty then. If you're not going to accept the fact that you're a terrible football manager and can't marshal a defence for like 7 games.
Yeah.
If you're going to blame the press and the fans for being C-words, then we're probably going to move on to other things.
Is this how you envision?
You're not an impressive physical specimen at the moment.
Is this how you? That is very rich.
As is the gravy I drink daily.
Is this how you envisage celebrating your manager's 1,000th game in charge?
Why are you not at the presser? Why are you here?
Marcus, how are semi-famous Newcastle fans around the world celebrating Steve Bruce's 1,000th game in charge? He's a little fatty. Outrageous.
He's a little fatty and I don't want him there. Yes. But it's going to be interesting because obviously the management cannot do anything until January. They can't make any moves, and any moves they make, will good money be spent in January? You just don't know. It's not ideal.
You don't leave us anywhere to go.
No.
Want me to answer that seriously?
All right.
My serious answer is it's a top-down change, isn't it? So they're going to start putting people in place. And I imagine they'll need a sporting director at the very least.
Yeah.
And then that sporting director will choose a manager. Yeah. Will anyone want to go there? I mean, probably.
Yeah, loads of money, mate.
But Steve Bruce, speaking of money, though, Brucey, he's not going to walk because he's about £7 million worse off if he does.
£8 million, I think.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
I mean, the epitome of a Brucey bonus.
Exactly.
But, what did Sam Allardyce have? Casa St. James's or something?
Something
like that. The Cave of Funk, I think it was. What did you... I mean, I suppose I want both of your takes, but mainly yours, Luke. That, Danny Mills reckons that they should give it to Jose Mourinho.
I mean, I've said this already. I said it about Tim Sherwood. I would apply. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed disappointingly that I think Tim Sherwood might be coming up later in the running order as well, expressly against my wishes.
Yeah, we might edit that on the hop.
I said it about Sherwood. I'll say it about Mills. They simply should not be talking about these issues.
Right, I'm talking about football in general.
Never has anything been clearer to me in terms of the severance of the link between a professional playing career and a broadcasting career.
Yeah, but have you ever played at the World
They're
Cup, mate?
Different jobs.
You ever won the Premier League, mate?
No.
Right then.
No, I haven't.
I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, here I am.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, apparently all this uncertainty around old Stevie B has led to a dark mood at the training ground this week, which is not nice to hear, is it?
No.
No, exactly.
A dark mood.
My goodness. How's it going to be lifted? We don't know. We shall see in the coming weeks, won't we? Chaps, did you see Paul Parker?
Paul Parker.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovely man.
Yeah, tackles like a ferret.
does tackle like a ferret. I know what his McDonald's order is.
Go on. Well, you're going to have to tell us now.
Come on then. Big Mac and an apple pie.
Just that's it.
Does he put the apple pie in the Big Mac?
Oh, no. No,
I didn't. No drink.
No.
I'm into it, but no drink.
There may well have been a drink, but there was no chips.
I'm terrified by that.
I think that's a bit of me and you, Marcus, personally.
Yeah.
We like sweet things.
We do. We do like a milkshake.
We do like a milkshake. Yeah. Maybe the milkshake machine wasn't working. That's why
Big
I didn't
Mac
get it.
No,
that was what he ordered.
The genre.
Because I questioned it.
The genre bashing is mad.
I was a bit like, are you not? Are you sure? But he was like, that's it.
That's right.
Okay.
It.
All right.
What were you just? Are you there with him? Some kind of event at McDonald's?
You.
One a.m.
Yeah.
Paul, what are you having? Big Mac and apple pie. And I officially opened the new Croydon McDonald's. Yeah. No. You know why? We've got a picture of myself and Terry Butcher and Paul Parker on the wall.
Yeah, I know you interviewed him. It's a McDonald's thing. I'm confused about.
Yeah, well, man needed to eat. It's exhausting being interviewed by me.
Yeah.
Needed the calories.
Try it twice a week, Paul.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's revealed in his new book that Sir Alex Ferguson once smashed Steve Bruce's phone during a dressing down in the dressing room after the game. I'll pick up the story from Paul. He said he started laying into us big time. Suddenly a phone starts ringing and the first person he looks at is me, because for some reason he always associated me with a mobile phone.
Weird.
Very strange. Thankfully, I wasn't guilty, and so he started going along the line of players, staring at each one. Eventually, when his ears pricked, he arrived at Brucey's jacket, pushing his hand into it and pulled out the mobile phone. Within a second thought, he'd hurled it with force into a bin, completely smashing it. No one said a word. Now, Parker played at Manchester United from 91 to 96. Mm. So this is like a proper breeze block.
A brick.
It's a breeze block of a phone.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a good bit of force, that.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre to think of Steve Bruce with a big old yuppie mobile phone at his ear with a big aerial stick in it.
Oh, Bobby Robson.
Who's ringing him?
Yeah, I don't know. Pallister, presumably. You can let me in the changing room.
Stay out.
My goodness. Yeah. Well, Peter, there's been a lot of speculation about Newcastle United, who they're going to sign and so on. People keep saying Philippe Coutinho.
He is the most expensive kind of bloke who's kind of free.
A journeyman. Yeah.
A journeyman.
One might say, although that might be a touch harsh.
I think that's bloody harsh. I can see why. He's probably going to be available, all the other reasons. A journeyman is harsh.
He's won a lot of trophies. Trophies, mate. Trophies.
Yeah.
Well, I just like to chuck another name that's been in the press recently. Raheem Sterling said that he would like to play abroad and that it would be open to opportunities elsewhere. Well, Raheem, why not just go that little bit further north? To the Republic of Newcastle.
To southerners, it feels like it's kind of abroad.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And you think?
I think a lot of Man City fans will agree. You can have all the money in the world, people still have to live in those cities. And I love Manchester, and I certainly love Newcastle. Yeah. It is a bit of a difficult thing to attract players to up north, unfortunately. So,
by the way, I said it was the Republic of Newcastle. That's wrong. It's now the Kingdom of Newcastle.
Kingdom. Sorry,
forgive me, everybody.
And when I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. How the new ownership of Newcastle United is going to approach it. But what has happened in the past is that they've had to kind of level up and go for certain types of players first to kind of build the project.
Right.
If we put to one side all this other nonsense and all this terrible stuff around it, this is the way football is going now. From a football point of view, look at Man City. They did buy a couple of really high profile players that actually didn't really work out, but they had to go and buy a Gareth Barry and one or two others like that.
They still had their company. They still had
to give them the level up. They had to do it.
So Newcastle should get James Milner back.
I'll tell you what. I mean, it's not the worst shout in the world. It's not the worst shout. But Raheem Sterling is obviously, he's just not starting games and he wants to play and he's 26 now. And
interesting he said those. He's very open to it. So
it was some kind of investment meeting or something like that. It was some kind of like...
public one.
Hopefully. it was some kind of weird kind of interview. But you never know how those questions have been thrown at them. Any player would be open to move abroad. If it's a pointed question, would you play abroad? Yeah, I'd play abroad.
It's not like, would you play abroad next month? Sort of thing.
Exactly.
I know what you mean.
He's not playing, so that's not ideal for a player of Raheem Sterling's
caliber.
Also,
he may be saying it to say, look, if you don't play me, I might go elsewhere. And he's been a very important player for Manchester City. I know last season he had his critics and so on, but wonderful Euro. He's been brilliant for England, of course. You wouldn't want to lose a player like
he knows what he's doing saying that. The thing that complicates it slightly is Ferran Torres has got injured, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But it looks like, I mean, Sterling isn't even going to start with Ferran Torres injured. Yeah. So
Interesting.
I found it funny when they said, oh, you know, there's maybe Barcelona or something, and I think Raheem Sterling would be wise to maybe avoid that for now.
Just hold off. Pay tax frequently, do you?
Could be the saviour. Could be the saviour of them, though.
Could be the saviour.
Could be the sign of greater things to come. You never know.
Up with Sergio if he's still there. I don't know. Yeah. I've lost count. There we are. All right, gentlemen. On Saturday, Leicester City face Manchester United. It's a big one at 3 o'clock. And of course, brother Brendy has been linked with Newcastle United this week. But according to reports, he says he's going to stay loyal to Leicester. So they can go to Man City in 18 months' time.
I'll stay a little to Leicester for a bit.
Yeah,
he carries on the way he's going, old brother Brendy. No one will want him. No.
He'd be mad to go to Newcastle, wouldn't he, at the moment?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you don't know because you don't know how the rest of the Leicester season is going to go. They have been decimated by some really important injuries.
And so this
weekend's match on Saturday at 3 o'clock, under pressure managers who probably won't lose their jobs if they go on a run of poor form, you would imagine.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Leicester were to pull the trigger anytime soon. I think that would be absolute madness. But you're right, they've started very, very poorly, and they have been one of the most disappointing teams by their own standards, Luke, this season so far. And he needs to turn it around. I mean, centre-half has been a bit of an issue for them, as Pete's highlighted there. But Vardy's still on form, and that gives you a bit of hope.
Well, they might play Vardy and Iheanacho up front together tomorrow, which would be pretty interesting. And also, the good news is I think Johnny Evans is back in line to start again. So that thing with Soyuncu, who had a really poor start to the season, had a really poor international break the first time round.
Do you think the Euros has just ruined him?
Oh, it could be that. I mean, he was thrown into the mix pretty quick for a player who's, he's 25 now, but he kind of came from nowhere.
But he did well, though. He adapted very well.
He was excellent, but he started the season very, very poorly.
He did, but he was obviously playing for Turkey at the Euros. It wasn't great.
True, exactly. So, look, Man United are a good team away from home, and I know that it's not necessarily all about this, and I know this is something that comes up time and time again, but you look at that Man United team and you think, okay, this is a good team here. Even the players they've got out, like Varane, I know it'll probably be Bailly and Lindelof at the back this weekend because of Maguire, and Varane's definitely out, isn't he? So, look, it's an interesting game, probably one of the most interesting games of the weekend, which is frustrating to me because we can't watch it on TV because you've got Leicester struggling. Man United are also kind of not struggling, but still have this cloud over them all the time around Solskjaer. But they are a good team away from home. And you flip it again and go, well, yeah, they've also got injuries. So,
Well, we mentioned Leicester City centre-backs there. Well, one of their former men who used to play there, Alexander Dragovic, has spoken about his time on loan at Leicester 2017 and 18. And he said they had a mid-season trip to Stockholm where they went out partying for 3 days, essentially, which sounds like a lovely old job, if you ask me. Jamie Vardy apparently spent his time playing pranks on the locals while in fancy dress. I thought to myself, I find that hard to believe. Dragovic said, one time we rampaged through the city in fancy dress. Jamie kept bursting into shops dressed in his costume and scaring the local people.
I mean, he looks like a Northern European folktale anyway, doesn't he? Very, very pointy features.
Yeah,
hello, it is I, the Pumpelfunk.
Oh, dear.
I'm here to take your dogs. Jamie Vardy, the Pumpelfunk.
He's put Red Bull in their bowl.
Oh no. He'll go on for hours. He'll be rampaging for days.
Yeah,
indeed. Jesse Lingard, though, he's not going to be involved. You wouldn't have thought. He said this week that Jose Mourinho would sometimes randomly FaceTime him.
Oh, good God!
Which is it? But Mourinho had a bit of a. I remember John Terry and Frank Lampard saying this about Mourinho, that he would just text them and just text the team going, oh, hey, what are you doing? You know, are you watching anything? Yeah, I'm watching this on TV. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm watching that too. It's really good, isn't it? Yeah, it's not too bad.
Do a bit of Gogglebox.
Yeah, and then suddenly, like, Mourinho would just not reply. And he wouldn't reference it when they spoke. And it was just like, what?
Yeah.
He would take an interest and then he suddenly would sort of disappear into the night.
There's also a dynamic there because, first of all, when I hear that about Lingard and Mourinho, I think, well, why didn't you just not bother answering?
Yeah.
But then it's your boss, isn't it?
Yeah,
of course.
You
know
what I mean? There's a power dynamic there. It's a bit suddenly Chavez, isn't it?
It's a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit
like the Venezuelan president.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, Lingard said, because Lingard, of course, did an interview recently, didn't he? Was it in the Players' Tribune, I think it was?
Yeah.
Quite interesting, some of the stuff he came out with. And he said, I used to find it so strange at first. He'd call and be like, hey, Jesse, what are you doing? And I'd be like, just chilling, watching TV. What are you doing? And then he said, it showed how much he cared about us.
I think
quite a low bar, isn't it?
I think it's just a power move, to be honest.
I find that very, very strange.
You'll always answer my phone calls. That's what he's basically saying, isn't
it? Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of former Man United players, though, Patrice Evra revealed this week that he didn't speak to Nemanja Vidic for 3 months after they got involved in a fight when they were Manchester United teammates.
I mean, if they got involved in a proper fight, Evra would be dust.
You'd expect so.
Yeah.
You'd imagine
We know he likes a joke, but he wouldn't be able to laugh that off.
It's like in the, Pete, like you said before, like in the Street Fighter film when M. Bison torches Chun Li's village and says,
that was a Tuesday.
That was the biggest day of your life. For me, that was just Tuesday. Like, that's Vidic and Evra.
What I like about that
Vidic doesn't even remember this has happened.
That quote is so kind of, in any other film, that would be a decent quote for my money. Yeah. But in that film, it is patently ridiculous.
Yeah. Who's playing M. Bison in that?
Oh, it's the late French actor, isn't it? Laurent Robert. I can't remember.
Raoul Julia.
Raoul Julia, yeah. It was his last role.
Oh, was it? Because you obviously got Kylie Minogue in there and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Wow. Beautiful.
90s were mad, weren't they? A Street Fighter film.
Anything.
With Kylie Minogue in it.
I know. Steve Bruce with a mobile.
Yeah, Steve Bruce. God, tearing 90s. Around with a mobile.
The 90s.
That's that, in order. M. Bison torching Chun Li's village in at three for scariest things. Steve Bruce's mobile phone in at two. Well,
Vinish versus Evra.
No, Vardy.
Oh, right, yeah, Vardy, one. Yeah.
Vardy marauding through Europe.
Well, you'll be pleased to know.
On a piss up.
Yeah, you'll be pleased to know that Vidic was the one who ended the feud. Evra said it was like this for 3 months because they didn't speak to each other. And apparently, Ferguson moved Rio Ferdinand to left centre half. As a result of this,
that's how good
while.
Rio was.
Exactly, yeah.
He sort of solved a problem for you wherever.
Well, he said it was like that for 3 months until after a game. I remember he came to me in the dressing room and gave me a high five. That was it.
What a way to end a brewing kind of problem.
I know.
High fives.
And then he said, "We have a deep story together."
I don't want Patrice ever saying that after seeing what I did with that chicken.
Oh, dearie me. Well, we spoke a lot about Newcastle United there, everybody. If you want the European view of the Newcastle takeover, then get over to Football Ramble Presents for this week's On the Continent. Dot and Andy were joined by Miguel Delaney to discuss how the takeover will be received in light of PSG's a decade ago. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. Right, it's time for a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Sheehan Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week, we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is History Done Differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Let's not take the piss here. I certainly was.
Well, I think you are.
Welcome back to the Football Rebel Preview Show, sponsored by Betway.
Have a high five.
Ah, Roy Hodgson. Missed that man. Right, it's time for emails.
Show at footballramble.com.
To hear my nightmare on the show.
Chilling.
Nice to know that techno heads are still around.
Yeah, absolutely chilling.
That was Maxim Thornton.
Thanks, Maxim.
Max, I think.
Yeah. Shout out for Bramble.com, as you may have heard on that jingle, for your emails. Andy in Chelmsford, hello to you, Andy. He says, with the Newcastle takeover now being complete, never has the line from Pete's email jingle about Messi in a toon shirt seemed more prescient. Mm. Did he know something we all didn't? Is Pete's public opinion of what's going on just hiding the fact that he's embedded deep state style in the new ownership?
Over to you, Peter.
I have nothing to say on this.
Don't want to incriminate yourself.
I'm not going to perjure myself, to be quite frank, on magnetic tape.
But if Messi does turn up in a tuna shirt, you're going to have a lot to answer for, mate.
Oh, now... That would make me turn on the whole situation, wouldn't it?
Messi managed by Steve Bruce.
They've got you, Peter. They know how to press your buttons. Mm. I believe you got an email, though, Peter.
I do, yeah. I have a message from Kim Andre Smedegaard, I believe that's how you say it. That name. After yesterday's show, I thought about what to do with the biennial World Cup, and your suggestion brought me back to a comedy/sports programme in Norway. For one particular show, they played a football game where the players were equipped with shock collars, like the ones for dogs. And then they gave the buttons to the opposing manager to press when he deemed fit. Now, in a World Cup, you might want to limit the amount of shocks per player or something. I like that or something there. But I'm going to leave the details up to the Ramble crew. Anyway, you can find this hilariously Norwegian game online, and it does include some famous faces like the Ramble meets alum Jan Agafjordhoff. We've seen this before, haven't we? It's like it was a set of like 3 or 4 different matches where they, I think they gave them virtuality helmets or mirrored helmets where you could only see the top of your heads or something like that, and it was very discombobulating. But I very much like the idea.
Shot collars is full on though.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Total Recall. Is it Total Recall?
Yeah.
No, it's Running Man.
Yeah.
I think anything like that is absolutely fine. Because those shot collars, they can be battery powered. They only run on a 9-volt battery.
How severe is it?
I'm reliably informed. Oh, it's enough to sort of make you stop what you're doing.
Yeah, but you're a man who very much will put his tongue on an electric fence. You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah, just to see what it's like.
I just want to feel something.
Eat a battery or something.
Mm, yeah.
So it's for you, the bar is a lot higher. For normal people, that would be discombobulating to say the least.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just like to see former Lazio man Diego Fuser have a go.
Were you just looking him up then?
I thought to myself, I think there's a player called Diego.
I think it's Fuser.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
I just wanted to remember a club he played for. Is that a cheat for Luke's game later, everybody? If he comes up, you're going to have to change it.
No, it's not.
Okay, thank goodness. The integrity of the game is very important. Yeah. Show at footballramble.com, as I believe Bill Clinton said earlier in that jingle. But gentlemen, Saturday, 12:30 in the afternoon. It'll get Saturday going, despite the disappointment that Friday has gone. This will get you pumping. It's Watford at home to Liverpool. Claudio Ranieri's first game in charge of the Hornets. Of course, last time Watford faced Liverpool, they beat them 3-0 in 2020. But Ranieri's back in the hot seat, Pete. He turned 70 on Wednesday. It's his 21st job in management, and he's up for the task. Because he said this week, "I'm very boring if I don't stay in football. I love football. I love life. And then why not take another job? Maybe I'm 70 or 50 or 80. the oldest manager in England with a walking stick. Why not? The brain is important. My brain is very young."
Now, Pete, your brain is famously very old.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
It's more about how old the legs are of the rather ponderous defenders that they've got in their side, unfortunately.
What about a knees? Manager's knees? We know Redknapp, it's important.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Where's he been? Where's Harry been?
On the side of buses selling things. Okay. But Claudio does deserve credit for doing something that is arguably the greatest achievement in Premier League history.
In sports history.
You reckon?
I honestly think it's up there.
Yeah.
Genuinely, hand on heart. I went on CNN and said that, mate.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's real news.
Premier League. It's real news. Real news.
Premier League era for sure.
Easily.
But it's hard to go back further than what you remember as a football fan, though.
Sure, but I think Andy and I I don't know if this episode's out yet or not, but I don't think it'll be spoilers. But on our Patreon, we do teams of our lives, and we did Boa Vista winning the Portuguese league. Was it 2002?
And only a handful of teams have ever won it.
Only five teams.
And
they're one of them. The other one, I forget the name of them, were in 1946. So it's basically your big three.
Yeah.
And Sporting's a few and far between. So Boa Vista winning the Portuguese league, although they were finishing sort of second and third a couple of times. So it wasn't. But I honestly think Leicester City winning the league, which is what Ranieri did, is one of the greatest achievements in the history of sport.
He's done well at a side recently. Sampdoria, he did well. Yeah. And that's not like deep and distant history. It's not like Jose Mourinho's last achievement, is it? He's done well quite recently.
Yeah.
And sometimes managers bounce off clubs, like what happened at Fulham, presumably.
Well, some people, they do. I mean, talking of former Fulham managers who did well elsewhere, I mean, Felix Magath won the Bundesliga. What was it with Wolfsburg? Doesn't always work out just because they've done something great, of course. it's strange. But he did say, Ranieri, that if Watford stay up, so you can see where his attention is here. He's talked about 40 points, of course. If Watford stay up, he'll get Elton John into Vicarage Road to have a little sing-song, just like Andrea Bocelli did at Leicester.
Elton John's doing his farewell tour at the moment, so you'd have to discuss that with Elton, I'd say so. Because he might not want to bounce back and go back on that so early.
It's not quite the same, is it? With Bocelli, Leicester had won the league, so monumentous thing. It's kind of like, we have to mark this somehow, because this is just so extraordinary. Whereas Watford's staying up, if Sir Elton comes in and then there's a bit of Saturday night, it's all right for fighting?
Do you know what I fear? I fear this will now become
Absolutely.
It started with Phil Brown at Hull. Why are people now doing songs on the pitch when things happen? And Elton John is obviously probably a more accomplished performer than Phil Brown, you would say. Certainly, arguably a better songwriter as well.
Better manager.
But if you've got Sir Elton among your ranks, surely you'd use it. Because if Portsmouth got back into the Premier League, you'd get that mad topless bloke to ring his bell on the pitch.
We'd have no choice. We'd have absolutely no choice. Let's be honest.
Statue of him.
Let's be absolutely clear about that. We'd have no choice.
You would.
Yeah.
Because I'd petition to get Luke Moore given a little sing-song.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fine singing voice.
I'd be up for it.
He would be up for it.
Yeah.
But of course, Liverpool will be playing their part in this fixture as well, you would think. Could be out without some key players. Fabinho and Alisson, of course, have been away in South America for the qualifiers.
Primed for an upset, guys. Primed.
Do you think?
Primed.
I think they've got enough to beat Watford.
Probably right.
But yeah, but the number of players featuring the World Cup qualifier, of course, from England that played with Brazil and Uruguay. But the game took place in the early hours of Friday morning, UK time.
Well, the absolute shift these players put in to go to South America and sometimes only just be on the bench is amazing.
Because Messi scored more than any other South American player, I think, in international football. He's got 80-plus now. And you think to yourself, that achievement for the rigours of South American qualifying, I know Tim Vickery's wrote quite eloquently on this, that you don't realise the distance. Once you get there, which is a fair old distance, of course, from Europe, you've then got huge distances. And none of them are dead rubbers. You don't have an Andorra or a San Marino sort of gimmies like that. So, remarkable achievement. I'm going off piece a little bit there. But the Premier League players that were involved in those games. Apparently Man City, Liverpool and Manchester United have clubbed together to charter a private jet to try and bring them back in time. Which is I quite like that, you know. You see, they can work together.
There is simply, as we can all agree, not enough football being played.
No, well, I mean, what happened this week? I mean, we were starved of...
I was fuming at them.
Yeah, my goodness.
Put a shift in or forget it.
Put a shift in. Well, gentlemen, let's finish our Premier League roundup with Brentford versus Chelsea, happening on Saturday at 5:30. And you mentioned him earlier, Luke, and I'm afraid that our editors have not got to it before I did. Tim Sherwood has been at it again. His verdict on Romelu Lukaku is this. I think he's fantastic. He takes them to another level and he's better than the players they had in that position. But he's a flat track bully.
I mean,
those opinions can't really exist, I don't think.
He scored a goal against the world champions a week ago.
Did he?
For Belgium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not the greatest of timing, is it? Generally speaking, if you won the World Cup at international level, you are seen as the best team in the world at that point, right? Yeah. They are the current World Cup holders, and Romelu Lukaku's just scored a goal against them.
Right.
And that's Tim Sherwood's take. That's the first thing he said.
Tactics, Tim.
Yeah. He's either doing it on purpose, right? Or he is... I mean, yeah, he's either doing it on purpose, he's so stupid that he doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah. Was he on the radio? Or was he...
Was he in the pub?
I just get the feeling that opinions get ramped up to weird places. So you can get on the old social media Twitter video, I think, sometimes. People talk nonsense.
Certain radio stations will be like, right, we got to do a section on this. Who do we know?
Yeah, and who's going to say something
Call a few people, and if someone doesn't answer the phone and someone does, right, we'll get them on. Mm. It could be something to do with that. Mm. But my point is you could write a quote from Tim Sherwood saying anything, and we would all have no choice but to believe it. And that should not be a good barometer of a broadcaster.
No. I remember, though, that it was a good few years ago where Lukaku was seen as a little bit of a flat-track bully. Because he didn't score against some of the bigger sides. But, I mean, that is just from memory, you know, a number of years ago. But, yeah, I don't think you would say that. But it is odd. Everyone seems to have an opinion on Lukaku. Or a differing opinion. Antonio Conte said that Chelsea aren't using him properly. As well. Now, I understand that because there is a man who has managed him and knows football quite well. Mm.
But he doesn't get the pelt, like Kane doesn't get the pelters that Lukaku gets. Let's make that very clear.
But Kane's more professional, though.
I mean, you know, it's just...
But Kane is starting to get a lot of stick now.
He is starting to get a lot of stick, but he's had a lot more rope than Lukaku. Very much it's fucking Romelu Lukaku, who is amazing.
I mean, Kane, but I mean, Kane has obviously built a lot of credit in the bank. You would think that Lukaku would as well, but it is odd.
You would think that.
The Conte thing, I don't think is an...
I
know you're not saying this, but I don't think it's a great comparison, chiefly because he has managed Lukaku recently and successfully and will therefore have a very well-developed idea in his mind of how he thinks he would play that with him and clearly he feels like Tuchel's doing something different. That's fine, that's legitimate. And Conte's always got an opinion,
but I think I should have said that I've sort of moved on from old tactics Tim and then brought Conte in, because Lukaku is, people often say, oh, do people get the best out of him, or where you know, how should he play, and all this kind of talk, and I just sort of think, yeah, I mean, it's fair enough, but I'm just sort of quite surprised that maybe that there is this sort of amount of opinion around him, because I think that he's improved his game so much demonstrably, hence Chelsea going in for him. And when Chelsea signed him, you just think, yeah, fair enough. You know, what a player.
Yeah, of course.
Won the league with Inter. I know Juventus
and scored a lot of goals doing it. Yeah, scored he did, 64 goals in two seasons.
Absolutely.
Or
Inter hadn't won the league for a while. I know Conte's he's a winner, but, you know, Juventus, yes, under Pirlo, obviously weren't as good, but they still, you know, it's been a long time.
Timmy's managed Agbon Lahore. So
I've
that's
moved
all
on
you need
from
to say.
Timmy, you're dragging it back.
But Tim Sherwood's not going to update his opinion on anything because he's not clever.
No.
He's just not going to do that. He said something about Ndombele a while back. Oh, you know, he said something about Ndombele a year ago, after watching the Spurs game, and he seemed to be of the opinion for absolutely no reason that Tanguy Ndombele was like a holding midfield player who liked to kick players around, which is not at all the player he is. It's like he was watching something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's I mean, the people who give him the platform are the people who should be taking the blame.
Like us, that's what we do now.
No, but we're not having him on, are we? He's not here, is he? We're going to get him in. We're not giving him a platform.
In a few minutes' time, we'll be playing Tim's game.
Pete, yeah. Pete, if you think slagging someone else giving him a platform, I'm going to give you a big platform later.
Lukaku's current manager, Tommy Tuchel, was filmed serving up some traditional German breakfast in the canteen at Chelsea's training ground in Cobham, Peter. Mm. Included a pretzel, Weisswurst, which is a type of Bavarian white sausage, and Senf, I think that's pronounced, which is sweet mustard.
That sounds nice.
It sounds lovely, doesn't it? Yeah. I'd go for that.
I think mustard is ghastly stuff.
Oh,
you think anything with taste is
Ramsay, ghastly.
Ghastly. Ghastly stuff.
The only other person I've ever heard say that word is Gordon Ramsay. Oh.
Hello, darling.
Gordon.
Right. well, there we are. Good old Tuchel. He's not afraid
But the players liking it?
Well, I assume so. But what I like about him, he's not afraid to get his hands all mustardy. even though I don't care for that, of course. But they're playing Brentford, Chelsea. Brentford are seventh. Only lost once in the league this season. I know it's early days, but still, that's impressive. They've won both of their London derbies, if you will, against Arsenal and West Ham. And they'll have their eyes on 3 points here. Thomas Frank, who's not afraid of anybody, has said he's flattered by links to Manchester United and Arsenal, but said this week he is insanely happy at Brentford, which is a very Thomas Frank thing to say.
Do you know what I'm really excited about? Thomas Frank coming face-to-face with Thomas Tuchel. In many ways, it's like a superhero movie. Yeah, they seem quite similar.
Tom versus Tom.
Yeah, we've both got the same name. One's more evil than the other.
Who's more evil?
Tuchel.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there could be some kind of real beef between them.
I think,
like, we could find that they were separated at birth. They were twins or something.
No, I'm all on board with that. I think with Thomas Tuchel, though, I think that he's that character that people think's evil, but actually, when push comes to shove, he actually lends his hand to Batman and pulls him up.
I see what you
off
mean.
The ledge, and you go, oh, whoa, that's the twist.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
And then
punches him off.
I wanted to do it myself.
Yeah.
To me, Brentford looked like I set myself up for a fall. I said this about Leeds and it came true. Mm. I see Brentford as almost like a top half team now.
Well, would you not back them here? Chelsea are misfiring a little bit. Brentford are at home.
Chelsea are a lot better than Brentford.
They are
the European champions, Peter.
They're top of the league.
Yeah, they're finding it very difficult.
They're not using Lukaku properly.
Lukaku's a flat track bully all of a sudden.
Well, if he is, then, mate, I don't know if that means he would score against Brentford or not. We'll have to wait and see, of course.
I like watching Brentford. They mix it up. They're not afraid to mix it up. They like it. They play a different number of styles. I like watching.
Who is Ivan Tony scared of right now?
No one.
Mm.
No one. And probably Tim Sherwood's opinion of him. Other than that, nothing.
Well, as far as we know, he hasn't given an opinion of him. But we know that Anthony Taylor's reffing this one. Chelsea fans launched a petition to get him banned from refereeing their matches when he sent off Reece James against Liverpool. And I like that because...
They always go
this,
well.
Is this the Premier League? Is this a bit of banter from the Premier League?
Yeah.
Could be.
They're always successful, those kind of petitions, aren't they?
Very, like, very successful.
I don't think at any point a petition of this nature is doomed from the start. a professional referee who did something we'd like to see him not a referee.
No.
Imagine if the PGMOL agreed to that.
Yeah,
well,
no,
imagine
no.
the floodgates.
No, look, if you get 100,000 signatures, it has to be discussed in Parliament.
Yeah,
so. Do we need to discuss this? Well, I mean, we're discussing it now. Are we going to do anything about it? Of course we're not.
There are not floodgates big enough in the universe to be that big if Chelsea fans were successful in that petition. It is mad. Because then they would have to go... Right, well, we've agreed that Anthony won't manage a referee end of the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
And now Liverpool fans are complaining about Mike Dean, so we can't have Mike Dean on those.
Absolutely.
Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, it is time now for Betway's Four to score, which is absolutely free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's Four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, and of course, further T's and C's apply. Marcus, you are up first this time. And you are going to be picking the first goal scorer in the game we've just talked about, which is Brentford versus Chelsea.
I'm going to go for Mason Mount.
Solid. Mm. Solid pick. Attacking player.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly playing for the better team.
Yeah.
Nice. Game number two is Everton v West Ham on Sunday. And we've asked our friend Kate to select the first goal scorer for that one.
Hey gang, I was extremely tempted by Mikel Antonio for this one. But after a lot of soul searching, I've decided to go with a man who just can't stop scoring and a guy who is, in a sense, part of the Ramble family. Yep, the man who's going to score first at Goodison Park this Sunday is Andros Townsend.
A vote of support for Marcus Speller and one in the eye for Pete Donaldson. Game number three is Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you going to be celebrating Newcastle v Spurs? It'll be a carnival atmosphere. There's a new ownership there. I think everyone's going to be really positive. What have you gone for to celebrate?
Goalless.
No goal scorer.
No goal scorer.
Oh.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Game number four.
second lowest XG in the competition, Spurs against a strikeless Newcastle United. Yeah. I am having that, and I'll take it to the bank, baby.
But it's what it represents. It not what you've chosen. It's what it says about your mindset.
Yeah, okay.
No goal scorer. Arsenal v Crystal Palace is the final game. Game number four on Monday night. That's my pick. I've cheekily gone for Odson Edouard.
Ooh.
Just thought I'd mix it up.
Cheeky boy.
And the only time I'll ever regret that is if we get all three right, and it's going back to me on the last game.
Well, if we got all three right, that would be a ramble record.
It would be.
But we need four. We need four clean answers.
We do. Mason Mount, Andros Townsend, no goal scorer, and Odson Edouard are our picks for those four games. If you want to play, you certainly can do so as long as you're over the age of 18. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and head over to betway.com/4 to score. Do gamble responsibly. Like I said, 18 plus. And for more information, head to begamblerware.org. All right.
Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
It's time for Luke's game.
God, Bennett.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Thank you very much to you, first and foremost, Mr. Marcus Speller, for steadying the ship last week when I wasn't on the show. Did a brilliant job. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Thanks, pal.
This time around, it's third seed Marcus Speller.
Ooh.
Versus, I'm sad to say,
the Newcastle United of the game.
Bottom seed, Pete
Donaldson.
Bottom
seed.
As our friend Jimmy.
That's my online name.
Jimmy to the B on Twitter asks, will Marcus prove that class is permanent or will Pete finally win a game? It's the Aramble equivalent of Brother Brendy's Foxes versus entertaining but useless Norwich.
Oh.
Yeah.
But so, it could be an upset though. If Norwich beating Leicester at the moment, not that they're playing each other this weekend, it wouldn't be that outrageous.
A Fox could take down a canary.
True.
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
Probably take down several of them.
Easy peasy.
For the Fox, it would just be Tuesday. Right, Pete, you're up first. That's the good news. You get to go up first.
That is the good news.
Good. Because
good news.
You're the bottom seed.
Ooh, baby.
I'm going to ask you to close your laptop.
Oh, again, sorry.
Right? Thank you. I've got eyes on Marcus's iPad, so that's fine. I know he's not cheating.
Mm.
The first player has played for five clubs in total, Pete, and I'll need an opening bid from you. He's still currently playing.
Ooh, right.
So that could help you out there.
Could it?
Well, we'll see. He is Jeannie Wijnaldum.
Oh, baby.
Jeannie Wijnaldum.
Tricky.
That is tricky. I'm going to go for three for starters.
That's a nice bid. That's a very
standard bid.
Yeah,
bid. I think he can get that, personally.
I think he will get that.
It's easy.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to go four.
Do you want to do all five?
No, I'm not going to do all five. I'm going to see Marcus.
And I'm struggling
four.
Here.
Exactly.
How
thank
confident
you.
Are you before?
I'm not that confident. I'm confident with three.
Okay. Well, that's not what you bid, sadly.
I know.
Let's hear him.
Paris Saint-Germain.
He's there right now.
Liverpool.
Of course.
Newcastle.
Absolutely, that's three.
And it's trying to flipping remember where Newcastle signed him from.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought he was about to tell me.
I would guess.
Yeah. I would shit myself as soon as I asked him because he's an absolute news coming.
I'll go for PSV Eindhoven.
1-0.
Oh, good stuff. I would have gone for Ajax, but that's just silly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't play for Ajax.
No, before PSV, he was at Feyenoord.
Feyenoord!
Okay. Do you know what? It was one of them I was going to
go for.
Well
done, Spelzy.
No,
that was your four, and that's your fifth. 1-0. Well played. You're up first this time, Marcus. This player's played for 10 clubs.
just did a weird tongue thing on me. I don't like it.
Did the old...
Mark Clattenburg.
Mark Clattenburg.
Yeah, the final.
You had that game, Pete.
I was.
You should remember.
10 clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Demba Ba.
Oh, that's a sickener.
Demba Ba.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, he's played for 10, I thought. Anyway. So, chance to go 2-0 here, Marcus. It's in your hands. How many clubs would you like to bid?
Four.
Pete.
Five.
Oh, yes. Love that, Donaldson. Coming out swinging.
He is coming out swinging. Go on, I'll get him to do his five.
Oh, this is going to be great. one at a time.
Sorry. Okay.
10 clubs that Denver Bars play for. I've got a big list here, so you have to bear with me. So just do them one at a time.
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah, well done.
Two.
Did he pop over to... I'm going to. Is it Guangzhou Evergrande, the Chinese club?
Oh, I tell you what, that's he's pulled that out of left field.
Ah!
You probably think of Shanghai Shenhua.
Shanghai Shenhua.
So do you know when you said that? I thought he did play out in China, didn't he?
So he started at Rouen, but they're amateurs, so they wouldn't have counted.
Did he pop over to West Brom for a bit?
West Ham.
I'm going to tell you, Mouscron is where he played.
Of course.
After that, Hoffenheim, West Ham United, Newcastle United, Chelsea, as you said, Besiktas, Shanghai Shenhua.
Yes.
Besiktas again.
Yeah.
Göztepe, Shanghai Shenhua again. Istanbul Basaksehir.
Yep.
And then a game for Lugano, who I don't actually know who they are, but they are a professional club,
Swiss,
apparently.
I think they're Swiss.
I got all his Turkish clubs.
It was the Turkish clubs. Yeah. I was thinking to myself, was it Besiktas? But then, of course, he scored against Manchester United for Istanbul Basaksehir.
He did, absolutely. They had a pretty successful time of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the third player has played for 8 clubs in total. Pete, you're up first this time. 8 clubs in total. He is still playing, apparently. And he is Alex Song.
Ooh.
Alex Song. Chuck, you can stay in the game with this.
That's a tricky one.
Very tricky.
Yeah, I want to go for one, please.
Just one.
Speller?
Yeah. I will go for 3.
Jesus. Well, I'm definitely not going to do 4.
So it's how you want to play it.
Yeah.
It's how you want to play it, because if you think he's going to name 3, you might as well go out on your sword.
Oh, right, okay.
Because if you lose this one, it's 3-0.
Yeah, no, I'm getting Marcus to do his 3, because I don't think he's sure.
So you're being cowardly.
Yes, I am. I'm being a cowardly lion.
Or is he being clever?
Write that on the league table.
Cowardly
Pete.
Bottom seed and brackets cowardly.
Yeah. Well, he might be playing it right. He might be playing it well.
3 clubs that Alex Song's played for, 1 at a time, Marcus, for a 3-0 win.
Arsenal.
That is rather obviously correct.
Barcelona.
Went there from Arsenal.
Ooh.
And this is the one I'm not sure of. West Ham?
West Ham, you say? Interesting guess. Very interesting guess.
Marcus!
Oh. Hurts Marcus, I'm saying it.
Yes, indeed. He did play for West Ham. Alex Song, get rid of that.
Don't be disappointed. I'm not very good at this game.
I don't remember things.
And I appreciate you gave me a couple of new guys I played. That is appreciated.
I don't choose it.
Yeah. I don't the algorithm chooses. Many... Sorry. Thank you, algorithm.
That's all right.
Thanks.
Punch the numbers in and it
Nobody
comes
knows who the algorithm is, what exactly. it is. Is it a person, group of people?
So let me do this, because there's a few completists listening to this show. They'll be annoyed if I don't do the full list.
Okay.
Bastia, Arsenal, Charlton, Barcelona, West Ham, Ruben Kazan, Sion, and Arta Solar 7, who, interestingly enough, they're in the Djibouti First Division.
I just like that sort of career.
Do you know what?
That's a life well lived.
I remember him going, I wouldn't have remembered even the country, but I remember it was an African nation he went to, which was a bit of a surprise move. It was quite a coup for
there we go.
Yeah, so that's fun. When he says, what, was it 8 clubs? Did you tell 10 clubs?
I think it was 8.
8 clubs, yeah. I mean... 3 or 4, really, is your max there.
Very much so. Player number 4, Marcus, your first. Mo Salah. 6 clubs, Mo Salah.
Mo?
Yeah. Mo.
Ooh.
Can you do 6? Can you give a little bit of a hat tip to the balcony and do 6? All 6.
Could I do all 6? That's annoying.
Can you do all 6?
I can definitely do 5.
The game's finished. 5. Just as quick as we can. 5. Do you want to do 6?
I can only do 3, sorry.
Go 5, go.
Okay. Roma.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Fiorentina.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Basel?
Yes.
Basel,
who
nice.
Who's the 6?
4-0.
It's Guangzhou Evergrande.
Al Makaloon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Presumably in Egypt.
Yeah, that sounds very Egyptian.
And the final player who's played for 10 clubs in total, this is a really tough one. Pete, you get to go first. Nikita Jelovic. I mean, this.
I'll go for 1 as one of the 10 or whatever.
But where's we're going quick? I've got 3.
All right.
Go
7.
For it.
Everton.
Yeah.
Rangers.
Yeah.
And West Ham.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's 5-0. Hajduk Split, Zolta Veregem, Rapid Vienna, Rangers, Everton, Hull. West Ham, as you said, Beijing, Renhei, Guizhou Zicheng, and Lokomotiva. There you go. Well played to Marcus Speller. 5-0 win. Very, very solid performance. Yep. Something, with respect to you, Pete, I think Marcus needed, because a player of Marcus's experience and quality, being a third-ranked player, is something he won't be happy with.
Well, I hear but, a flat track bully. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Vish put in that performance last week, you've got to take
that
hat
was
off.
Excellent.
Yeah, you know,
and,
oh,
and the thing is with Vish, he's always gracious in victory.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, there we are.
He's the reigning champion, by the way.
He is the lineal champion.
Yeah, lineal champion.
Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah, I think you might have had a chance to be the reigning champion because I think you played in the very first week of the season.
That's true. Yeah,
you were beaten.
I was beaten.
There we are. You see, what a time it was, though. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Everybody, it's an absolute pleasure having you on board. We'll see you on Monday, of course, for some more glorious football chat. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye, everyone.
And thank you to the listeners. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.